I'm Julia Sherbakov, and this is Impact Journey. Conversations with hidden heroes making big societal change.
Most people have absolutely no clue that their pension is going into fossil fuels, tobacco, some stuff that they would be shocked to know. I mean, there's trillions and trillions of pounds and dollars. The amounts of money are just bonkers. But we need to be moving trillions of dollars every year. For example, $2.4 trillion needs to go into clean energy every year until 2035. But we're not anywhere near that number right now. If we can help facilitate and help raise awareness, hopefully we can have an impact.
Today, I welcome Duncan Grierson about his impact. Duncan is founder and CEO of Climate, a digital platform for sustainable investment in areas like clean energy and electric mobility. Now, about his journey, I've had a few podcast guests in impact investing from different angles, and given how this area is growing, this probably won't be the last. Duncan's story was interesting to me because he's essentially had two lives, one as an investor in venture capital and private equity, and one as a clean tech entrepreneur. For example, he started a company in biofuels. And here we hear what he's learned from both those lives to bring them together now to help normal people invest in the climate. So please enjoy this conversation with Duncan Grierson. So I'd love to start with a bit of your origins and your interests. I feel like there's these two threads that I've observed in your bio and in your background. This investing thread and then this green technology thread. You started in private equity and venture capital, and then you spent 12 plus years founding and running these different recycling and green tech companies. I'm really curious to break down those two different interests, maybe even chronologically. What got you into private equity and venture capital from law, which is what you studied initially? So I'm curious to go down that path and then also come down the green tech path and then merge them.
Yeah, I mean, you can only really connect the dots looking backwards. And I now seem to be in a really good place with what I'm doing. It does use all the experiences and skills I've built over the last 25 years. So connecting the dots, it now looks really smart.
Hopefully intentional, right?
Well, absolutely not. I mean, I guess I have had a lot of interest in climate change and sustainability for 20 years now, but I started out life as a lawyer, actually. So I started out as a finance lawyer working for a big city law firm in London, and I was mainly working on private equity deals. And during my time there, I discovered venture capital and thought, wow, that's what I want to do.
What attracted you to it?
I think the idea of working with early stage companies with exciting missions. I know I fell in love with the idea of investing into early stage companies, helping founders, seeing fast scaling. And during that journey, then I came across sustainability.
How did that happen?
So my last private equity job after the dot-com bubble, venture was in the kind of nuclear winter. And whilst I was working for a PE fund, I built a thesis around environmental consulting. I thought there was a real opportunity to build from certainly at the time, a very fragmented market of environmental consultancies focused on changes in legislation. This is back in 02, 03. And there was clearly a growing interest in sustainability. There was much more legislation coming through. And I thought, well, this is a big growth space. And I basically started reading a lot about sustainability and climate change, and I drank the Kool-Aid. And I ended up leaving that PE fund and starting my first business, which was in actually waste to biofuels. We developed a technology that took household waste and converted it into biomass. And I went through the classic founder's journey of struggling like crazy for the first 2 or 3 years. Eventually, we raised an angel round, and we went out to raise a larger round, and Goldman Sachs discovered us and ended up putting $30 million in the business. And then it kind of took off from there. So there was probably some element of luck in that. But yeah, that was my first business that was taking household waste converted to biofuels. I've done a plastic recycling business. And then more recently, we helped a couple of guys with a battery business to create what's called a virtual power plant. You can have incredible amounts of energy from the solar from your roof being stored in a battery in your home. And then you can not only use that energy in your home at nighttime, but you could also potentially sell that energy to the grid, to your neighbor, et cetera. So very interesting business. And they're doing really well. I was heavily involved in that for a couple of years. And then it's like, what do I want to do? Do I want to start another business, or do I want to go back to venture capital? And then I came up with the idea that actually we can have the biggest impact on the planet on climate change if we move people's savings and pensions into companies that are already having an impact. So the hypothesis behind Climate is that your savings and your pensions in the US, your 401k, and in the UK, a workplace pension, that money is currently, unbeknownst to most people, a big chunk of it is actually going to fossil fuel companies. So if we can move some of that money into companies that have truly green missions, so products and services that are having a positive impact on climate change, that's what we've been building for the last year.
What's interesting is hearing how you got here, because your interest originally in sustainability and the environment actually didn't necessarily come from this great love of the planet, of the environment, but it was actually kind of a business case when you were working in private equity and investing. You saw almost from the business side. And so I'm curious for you, how has that journey gone for you? Because it's a big leap actually from saying, all right, I'm going to start investing in these companies where I think regulations are going, to then starting a waste to biofuel company. I mean, that's really intensive. I'm curious what's been going on in your own journey of your both awareness of this and also where you feel like the real need and the opportunities are.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It has been a journey. So I did start out my first business, looking at the business case side of it. I was going from private equity and venture capital. When I was working on this, I went down the bunny hole. I kind of drank the Kool-Aid and I read about it and realized that we have this massive problem that we really need to get moving on. And so that was kind of the beginning of the journey. And it's been almost 20 years. Over the years, my views have matured to some degree. We had Cleantech 1.0 in the mid-late 2000s, where a lot of venture money went into heavy capex.
Like the solar and...
Exactly. Yeah. Thin film solar, all that money kickstarted it. The biggest learning really is the economics have got to make sense for all these companies. This is not charity. This is not about giving money away. This is about building companies that have sustainable business models, and therefore the economics need to stack up. And that's part of our hypothesis at Climate, that these companies we invest into, they have to be not only doing the right thing, but the numbers need to make sense and need to be sustainable companies.
Yeah, and this is where your background in investing, both in VC and private equity, really helps, because you started out on the investing side. I'd be really curious to hear how your both your personal interest and then your professional interest, where and how like these came up, because I think we're all starting to see personally more electric vehicles on the road and charging stations, more people focusing on recycling, focusing on what you buy and is it organic? And then the whole behind the scenes finance side of this, there's just been a lot less discussion. So I'm curious, how did you see that given what you've seen in these really capital intensive businesses that you've really been working in? Now you've switched to this very not capital intensive, but really the behind the scenes plumbing of this almost.
Yeah. So I was looking for a way to have an impact using a device that we all have in our pockets on a daily basis. And my hypothesis was the biggest way to have an impact is with people's savings. And I did some research and I found that most people have absolutely no clue that their pension is going into fossil fuels, tobacco, some stuff that they would be shocked to know. And so there's a real opportunity to make people aware of that. The other thing that I was surprised to find during the research is that you can actually have a bigger impact with your savings, with your pension, than doing all of the other things that you should be doing anyway, like eating less meat, flying less, cycling to work, recycling, consuming less fast fashion. All those things we all need to be doing, those are great, but actually you can have a far bigger impact with just simply putting your money to work.
How does that get quantified? How does that get measured? How do you know there's more impact in the one versus the other?
Yeah, you're right. It's a complicated equation because you need to make sure that the companies you're putting your money into are doing the right thing. So I'm talking about publicly listed companies on different stock markets around the world. So in the UK, the US, globally, there's a lot of self-reporting that goes on. So the companies report what's called their ESG, so their impact environmentally, socially, and governance. And there is no pure definition of what is ESG. So the example I often give to people is a lot of supposedly sustainable funds, a lot of those funds are in Alphabet. So the parent company, Google, that's a fabulous company. It's done well. But most people, the average person on the street would be shocked to find that in a green portfolio because, yes, I use Google multiple times a day, as most other people do, but it's incredibly energy hungry and with their data centers. So they're buying more and more of the energy through power purchase agreements from solar and wind developers. And that's great. But for my money, that's not a green stock. So if you want to be having an impact on climate change, you need to be putting your money into companies that have a product or service that is genuinely impactful.
That's the theory of change. I think you're right. There is a big difference. And a lot of people are now coming awake to it between less bad and more good. If we think about where our money sleeps at night, we can certainly make it less bad. What's interesting in what you're saying is how do you take the next step is actually filter it into companies that are actually doing more positive change for what we want. And in this case, you're talking specifically environmentally, right?
Which we're very much focused environmentally. I mean, our primary filter is environmental, but of course, we also look at the S and the G. So these companies need to be doing the right thing on a social and a governance base as well. I mean, even if you look at our own team, we're now 18 people, half the team are women. We have 8 nationalities, we're highly diverse. And I just think that's the best way to build the best business. I think of all the teams I've built over the years, I'm proudest of this one by far, actually.
Taking everything that you've learned about what makes a good business and then putting it into this startup of a business that you're creating now. And we can talk more about the app itself and how it would work and what is actually in there, what's not in there, how people invest. But what I'm really curious is if this goes really well, let's say Climate gets tons of people moving a lot of their pension now towards a lot of these companies. What does success look like? Let's say in 5 years, what do you see would have changed in the world thanks to this?
I guess two things. From a climate perspective, our vision is to have tens of billions of pounds, dollars under management through our platform, going into companies that are making a difference on climate change. The second one is just to raise awareness, just making people aware that if they don't invest with us, please put your money somewhere else that is also doing good. You can make the biggest impact with your savings and your pension than all the other things combined. So do the right thing with your money. And if it's not with us, try and find another provider. We haven't found a digital provider out there, which is our gap in the market.
Two maybe silly questions, but being not an investor, one thing that's really hard is this legitimacy and the measurement. It's easy to say like all these other ones, they claim to be responsible, they claim to be green. How do you differentiate what goes into the climate investment here? And how's that different than what others are doing? And I guess the even bigger question is then how do you communicate that to people who are probably overwhelmed as it is?
Yeah, that's a super good question. Our thesis is that you need active management. You need to be doing bottom-up analysis of the individual companies. So you can't just be putting your money into an ETF, which is a sort of passive tracker type fund. That's not good enough because you have no control over what's in that passive tracker. So we think active management, where you're actively looking for companies with the right missions and the right economics. And so that's kind of bottom-up analysis. The second question, how do we communicate that to our community? Yeah, that's a challenge because it's not completely clear how we might look different from somebody selling a kind of a green portfolio. It's got some nice logo. It's got some pretty pictures in some marketing material. So yeah, communicating to those people is a bit of a challenge, but it has to be around, I think, who are we? What are our backgrounds? So, you know, my background, 20 years in sustainability, a chief investment officer, his background is 25 years in energy and utilities. So deep, deep experience in sustainability.
I think that communication challenge is really a big one because part of it is transparency. And as you said, there are a lot of metrics. Some of them are self-reported. Some of them you could find out and do research on to close up that point on giving it that legitimacy, that active management that you were talking about and tying it together with the communication. I don't know if you have an example that you can give of what would be a company or a group of companies that would be in this portfolio and what would you see in them that would make them be part of this portfolio or potentially get kicked out at some point.
Yeah, an obvious and a good example is a company called Vestas, which is a Danish wind turbine manufacturer. Now, clearly producing products which create green energy, and that's a massive growth sector. It's a way for us to move away from fossil fuels. Very successful business. It's a global leader in wind turbine manufacturing. So that's a good example of a company that's positively having an impact on climate change. And so we have them in the portfolio and a few others like that. We have some solar companies, other clean tech companies. We have some recycling companies. We have companies in water and water management. Our main themes are clean tech, clean energy, smart mobility. So that's the movement towards electric vehicles and electric transportation, water management. So yeah, we have six main sub-themes, and those are the focus of our portfolio managers looking for actively for companies. It's a real mixture. It's a true portfolio, and we will offer different risk appetites as well. So you can choose depending on your appetite for risk as well as your appetite for this theme, investing into making a difference on climate change.
Interesting. And that actually kind of ties into something I hear from other people too, who would like to get into more sustainable, responsible investing. But especially with publicly traded companies and a lot of these funds, they're like, yeah, but they're public companies. Like, they're going to have investors anyway. What does this change?
So yeah, a couple of things. So the more we move our money away from fossil fuels, the more that we put focus on the right thing. The cost of capital for the oil and gas companies goes up, which means that their projects get more expensive, and therefore it does actually have an economic impact on them. So you're right, those stocks that are already out there, which if you didn't buy, somebody else has bought. But if you're increasing the price or the value of that stock, then it's also likely that you'll facilitate those companies raising further capital at a lower cost. So there's a couple of different ways that your money will have an impact on helping the good companies do the right thing. And what historically have been not such good companies, but they are moving. Some of certainly the European oil and gas companies are making changes and do seem to be on the right path. They need to move faster and need to move a lot faster.
Something I'm curious about now in this very early stage that you're in is, what is the biggest challenge in this early stage, and how much of it is raising awareness? How much of it is convincing people that this is important? How much of it is actually just getting this in front of people who already think it's important and just want a product to invest in, and maybe even something else entirely? What do you see as the biggest challenges, let's say, the next year?
Yeah, I don't think the biggest challenge is persuading people that they need this kind of product. Because of COVID, there's been incredible interest in sustainability, and there's been a lot of movement into sustainable stocks in the last 6 months. Probably your second point around making them aware of us is for sure the biggest challenge. That's a marketing challenge. One of the reasons we're doing podcasts like this one is to get the message out there that there is a way you can make an impact. I mean, there's trillions and trillions of pounds and dollars. BlackRock, I think they managed something like 7 trillion alone. Vanguard, something like 4 or 5 trillion. The amounts of money are just bonkers. But we need to be moving trillions of dollars every year into clean energy, for example. $2.4 trillion needs to go into clean energy every year until 2035, according to the research from the UN. But we're not anywhere near that number right now. So we need to be moving significant amounts of capital. And so to be able to do that, clearly, little old Climate, we are not going to be moving trillions anytime soon, but if we can help facilitate and help raise awareness and get a movement going, hopefully we can have an impact.
That's an interesting theory of change that we're starting to see play out more and more, where you see the BlackRocks of the world now influencing the decision-making of companies because they're an investor in and they get to vote on the shares of these companies. And then one step behind that is you've got the people who've got their money in the BlackRock, in the Vanguard, who are all of a sudden saying, wait a second, what are you doing with my money? There's so many steps along the way. And it's interesting to hear you talk about where you've chosen to play is on the consumer side, the retail side. What do we call it?
I just call it B2C. We'd call it the B2C.
Yeah, exactly. For the, I would call it, I guess, the average person, right?
Yeah.
Who's investing. And that's a big part of it.
Yeah, definitely. It's a huge part of it. And I think Greta, she's kind of B2C, if you like. So she has managed to move a lot of people and raise awareness by focusing on the people, on consumers. And that's been fabulous. She's, you know, what she's done is amazing.
And I usually try to end with this. What have you seen that gives you hope that we're moving in the right direction in this moment of now multiple crises, one on top of the other?
Yeah.
I'm curious what you see from your vantage point that keeps you going in this direction.
You know, I'm very hopeful, but we don't have much time. We need to get our act together as a planet, you know, in the next 10 years by 2030. I am hopeful. I see lots of positive data points. Electric vehicle rollout, that is increasing rapidly. The amount of interest in sustainable investing, ESG funds have had record inflows. I think COVID has made people think more about how they live. We've all been at home and we've enjoyed the clean air and perhaps cycling more than we might have done otherwise. And I think people have realized that we need to change the way we live. We need systemic change. So I am very hopeful, but we need to get moving. But I'm a kind of an optimistic person. To be an entrepreneur, you have to be slightly crazy and perhaps overly optimistic, otherwise you wouldn't start.
And I know you mentioned earlier you've got young kids. How have they influenced how you think about this?
Yeah, that's a super good question. You know, I was already on this climate change sustainability journey, but having kids definitely adds a whole extra layer to that. You like one day to have grandchildren, and unless we start making significant changes systemically on the planet, my grandkids are going to live in a different, very different world. You know, my kids are now 5 and 9, and that's definitely had an impact on the way I think about things.
How do you explain what you do to them?
That is a good question. What do I say? That I guess I try to encourage them to be makers, to make things. So I describe myself them as a maker. When I was a kid, I loved making stuff physically with my hands. And then I went down a different route career-wise. But I guess I've come back to a more creative side with being an entrepreneur and building companies. And right now I'm focused on making a business that can have an impact on climate change. And they get that. And it was funny, I remember chatting with my 9-year-old a couple of years ago. I was actually debating raising a clean tech venture fund. And I guess I was encouraged by my 9-year-old saying, like, why don't you do a business? Rather than investing in these companies, why don't you start one? And so I guess he encouraged me a little bit to start another company.
I really just want to thank you for taking this time, for sharing.
Yeah, no, thank you, Julia. It was great to chat. And if any of your listeners wants to take a look, we're at climateinvest.com, CLIM8invest.com. And we are beginning to onboard people to the app.
All right.
A big thanks to Duncan. You can follow his work at climateinvest.com. That's CLIM8invest.com. This is Impact Journey. See you next time.